It's Tuesday, November 30th, 2021, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. Customers are a greater threat with insurance and the lifestyles of the rich and hackers, and potential move on privacy laws from the Biden administration. This is the Business of Tech. Cybersecurity researchers at Fox IT, part of NCC Group, examined over 700 negotiations between ransomware attackers and their victims to analyze the economics behind the digital extortion attacks that demand a ransom payment, often millions of dollars, in exchange for the decryption key. They found that if the victim has cyber insurance and that the attacker knows about it, then there's few maneuvers for negotiating for a smaller ransom payment because the attackers will exploit the existence of the cyber insurance to cover the payment they're demanding. Speaking of insurance, an idea I've pitched on this podcast is one I've now spotted in the wild. Resilience, a cyber insurance firm that couples insurance with software, raised a Series C round of fundraising. Policyholders get preparedness training, continuous security monitoring, and notifications, and the company positions as working proactively to protect customers. Apple published plans to now inform users whose iPhones and devices have been compromised by state-sponsored hacking efforts. Details are in a support document. Users will get an iMessage and an email to the information on file, and the threat notification will be displayed when a user signs into Apple ID. Also in news you can use, Zoom has finally added automatic updates to their Windows and Mac OS clients. Individual users will now have updates enabled by default, and the choices are for slow or fast frequencies. Slow focuses on stability, although critical security updates will roll out regardless of the selection. A piece in the Washington Post details the lifestyle of a hacker living in Russia. A 28-year-old member of R-Evil is driving a $74,000 Land Cruiser and living in a trendy neighborhood without any apparent fear of arrest. He is responsible for roughly 2,500 ransomware attacks with $767 million in demands. And he's not alone, as the piece highlights other extravagant hackers. These groups continue to pivot. Sabbath, a rebrand of Group Arcane, has been found launching attacks on schools and hospitals similar to their previous efforts. Researchers have even shown their victim site is identical to the old one and proven a shared infrastructure between the groups. The constant rebranding keeps them under the radar. The New York Times digs into the cyber war between Israel and Iran, which expanded to include civilian targets on a large scale. Gasoline distribution, railroads, water systems, and exposure of an openly gay Israeli broadcaster's personal details intended to expose thousands of Israelis who had not come out. Now, why do we care? A cyber insurer puts their money where their mouth is by backing it with technology and monitoring. Not an endorsement, just an observation. I'm now tracking two security companies who have linked a financial component to the tool they provide, or in this case, vice versa. The insurance market wants to be in this space while actually making money. This is one model that should work, and I expect to see more of this, similar to the idea of monitoring usage for drivers to achieve better insurance rates. There's money in hacking to be sure, and protection by choice of where those hackers live. Wonder why I proposed the idea of SEAL Team 6 addressing cyber? That's why. Because Americans should be afraid of the idea of open warfare between two countries, such as Israel and Iran. Service providers are more like their customers than software providers in the security market. While those who sell locks make money regardless of the effectiveness of the locksmith is blamed or feels the pain when the lock fails. And talking privacy, a first move from the Biden administration. The National Telecommunication and Information Administration, which is the telecom unit of the Commerce Department, plans to hold listening sessions and seek comment on the intersection of privacy, equity, and civil rights, according to an agency notice. NTIA intends to develop a report on the ways in which commercial data flows of personal information can lead to disparate impact in outcomes for marginalized or disadvantaged communities. Those sessions would be in December. Why do we care? I'm skeptical of Congress passing a national privacy law in the U.S., despite believing it would be great for the technology industry and individuals. That said, monitoring any signs of life for that law matters. A single national privacy law would simplify providers' lives, potentially removing industry-specific issues as well as state-specific differences. Think you know PC-Matic? Think again. PC-Matic is working with MSPs to deliver true zero-trust, default-deny endpoint security, allowing only trusted applications and blocking all the rest. A lightweight, simple-to-deploy, and easy-to-manage approach to application allow listing. Layering a default-deny approach provides MSPs of all sizes the ability to focus again on prevention, and PC-Matic delivers this without impacting performance or efficiency. Find out more by visiting pcmatic.com/MSP and ask about their exclusive lead sharing program backed by a primetime national TV campaign. Thanks for listening, and I will be back again tomorrow with another roundup. Talk to you then. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Want to reach our listeners? MSPradio.com/engage.